Thank God. When he sees me, washed white as snow. And one day it wasn't like that. He seen me and I was dirty, wicked. But thank God it ain't like that no more. Things ain't got to be that way. Amen. And I thank God for that. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll find the reading once again in the book of Joshua. And we're going to back up a couple chapters down in chapter number 3. Joshua chapter number 3. I'm going to read two verses in your hearing. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. We'll read verse 7 and 8. Joshua chapter number 3. Begin reading in verse number 7. When finding your place, if you would stand this evening, in reverence the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter 3. In verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." Our Father, Lord and our God, I ask, Father, tonight, God, that you touch us. Father, as we preach, God, would you help us, Father, and give us holy unction? I pray, God, tonight, you'd illuminate my mind, Father, and would you loose my lips? And I pray, God, that you'd anoint hearing here tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you'd touch each and every person here. I pray, Father, you'd give them understanding. Lord, I pray, God, you'd give them a vision, Father. Lord, let them get it like I've got it, Lord. I pray you'd feed them. And God, if we got to do it by the spoon, that'll be okay too. And I pray, Father, you'd give them that, Lord, that needs to be come from heaven today. And I ask, Father, if they'd be someone here that's lost, God, would you speak to them? God, would you offer salvation unto them, God, if tonight be the night? And Lord, I thank you, God, that you're the same yesterday, today, forevermore. God, would you help us, Father, tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. We see tonight, I want to preach on this thought. When God says stand still. When God says stand still. Now I want you to be strong when hearing. But I want you to stand still tonight. Listen what the Lord had to say. The Bible says here in verse number 7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua," and I'm going to read down through 17. "The Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all earth passeth over from before you unto Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zertan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed
over ride against Jericho, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And as we make way introductory tonight, I want you to understand that Joshua is a man of God. And Joshua has had many days to prepare. He's had much time for God to work on him and to move on him. He's had much time for God to build him up, to get him to the place to where he can lead Israel across this river. Now we see as Joshua has been through the fire, so to speak, Joshua has followed Moses many days in his life. And he's watched the many things that God used through Moses. And well, for instance, we see as Moses was on the mount and God was speaking to Moses, giving him the Ten Commandments. And we see as God was giving Moses this, and he told Moses, said, listen, he said, your people has gone astray. Your people has disobeyed God. Your people has fell by the wayside. Said they've called Aaron to make up a golden calf and they're worshiping it. And Moses said, they can't be. There can't be no way, God. And God said, go. And we see as Moses come down off the mount, and he come down and he throwed the tablets when he got down, because what he see? He seen a golden calf. And all the people said, we don't want what Moses has got. We don't want what God's telling Moses. We don't want what's taking place up there. We ain't got no time for that. Aaron, would you build us a golden calf? Aaron said, if you'll take all the gold, said, I'll build, and we'll melt it down, and we'll build a golden calf, and we can worship it. Bless God, that's where we're at today. We say, oh, we don't want what the man of God has. We don't want what God's telling the man of God. We don't want what's taking place. Well, we know the preacher's up there praying. We know he's been up there studying. We know he's been up there having time with God. And he comes back. We ain't got time to wait on that. Do us something else, would you? And so oftentimes, just like back then, as they built a golden calf, and oftentimes we take things and we put them before God and put them before the man of God, that it is our under-shepherd as he goes before God and gets what we need and brings it back to us as manna from a fresh place, manna from a fresh, I mean, just like a fresh new garden, and the man of God goes and gets it and brings it back, and he just spoon feeds us, just here, have a little bit. Here, take a bite. Take a bite. All these little sheep. Here, have a bite. Have a bite. That's what the preacher does, okay? And the preacher goes and gets it. But we see here is these people they've turned their back on God, so to speak, and they go to worshiping the golden calf, and Joshua's seeing all this, right? So here we see when this takes place, Moses gets fired up. Moses takes the Ark of the Covenant. If you do, I believe, and the best I can understand, that Ark of the Covenant is probably about on the table about such a size. And then he takes all this and takes the tabernacle and pitches it out of the camp. Now let's get a perspective of how serious this Ark is. This Ark would be in relation to today. Today, if you want to talk to God, you just get down and go praying about it. The Lord's right there. There ain't no getting down, and well, Seth, you bring three goats, and brother, you bring about two pigs, and brother Bobby, you bring a goat that'll be like the good goat that's for the sin, and these are two are for the killing, and this is, you know, for the truth offering, and this is for this offering, and this is for that offering, and brother Caleb, you bring this, and we're gonna kill about 30 animals, and then we can talk to God. It ain't like that today. But I thank God it ain't like that today, because we'd be foul shape. Amen. Now, we'd be foul shape, but thank God that today we can talk to God Almighty anytime we take an ocean. Anytime we get in a predicament, anytime we get in sloppy conditions, anytime, I mean, things get unwavering, anytime we get sour about ourselves, we can just pick a phone up and go call to heaven. And I thank God it's like that. But back in them days, okay, back in them days, it's such a serious thing. Man's got to get into a place and send the priests in. And so such serious of a thing, we'd send the priests in and tie rope to his foot. God killed him, we'd quit hearing the bell, tied to his ankle. We'd just drag him back out. I mean, could you imagine 30 preacher Darren's up here? I mean, all right, you're next. And we hope to God out of 400 of us, ain't somebody living in sin, because he's going to kill him by the time he gets back through yonder. Wham, kill him. All right, you're next. All right, Brother Josh, your turn. All right, you know, Brother Jerry, your turn. Amen. All right, you know. I mean, could you imagine? It's so serious in the latter part. he told them, he said, when this Ark of the Covenant comes down off, you can't get within half mile of this baby. That's how serious the Ark is. But perspective of Joseph. So Moses took the Ark and throwed it out of the camp. Okay? And after we get done with seeing the story about the golden calf, after we get done with seeing about how, you know, us a wicked people once again have turned on God and went to worshiping the world, worshiping the things of the world, Moses goes into the tabernacle. Who's right behind him? Joshua. Yes, Joshua's right there. Said he never left. Said he just stood in the door. Just listening what's going on. He can hear God talking to Moses. Man, he's getting molded. He's getting moved. He's getting groomed. So why is he getting groomed? For this instance right here. For this same instance, he's getting groomed. So we see now a background of Joshua. First of all, I want to look at a concentrated command. We see in verses 7 through 11, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee." God didn't say this day or tomorrow or 3 days from now, but he said, "This day will I." He didn't say, "My dead friend, such and such, it's been in the grave for so long," or "I'm going to send such and such high priest with a funky looking hat on," or "I'm going to send this and this somebody from three towns over that's going to help you begin to get to a certain stage of life." But God said, "This day will I begin to magnify thee." That word magnify means to cause to grow or to make great. And it says here, "said magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." Thank God for that. So we see here, we see this concentrated command. He's directing it right at Joshua. He said, "Joshua," and I can imagine Joshua just standing here, "Yes, Lord, go ahead." He said, "Joshua," he said, "you've been a man of valor." He said, "You've been a man of God. You've been a man that has followed me, a man that's paid attention to me, a man that's prayed when I told you to pray, a man that's went where I've told you to go, a man that's done what I've told you to do." And he said, "And this day will I magnify thee, will I begin to magnify thee." Now, granted, this is not going to be an overnight process. Same thing with us. It ain't going to be an overnight process. I mean, you ain't going to go from zero to hero overnight. It just don't work like that. I mean, you might get saved this day and you ain't going to turn around and be the pastor of a church of 400 tomorrow. It ain't going to happen like that. I mean, the Lord's got to mold and work on us because we are stubborn human beings. We are stubborn individuals. So I'm telling you to stand still because we're getting a command from God. Same as the Lord showing Joshua here, I see two things within this command. First of all, I see a concentrated control of it. In verses number 9, we see here, and the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." I see here is Joshua. Now let us thank Francis now. If we had, say we take myself, for instance, I'm a young man. I'm 28 year old. I've got 5 years of preaching under my belt. Really, not that much. It's not a whole lot. I can't really offer much, but what I have, I try to give you the best of my ability. Okay, you take me, for instance, you take me and put me over, say 1,000 people that I don't even know. Are they going to pay attention to me? Probably not. I mean, it's really probably not going to happen. They might be two or three will say, "Well, I've got fear for the man of God," or maybe "I've got fear, you know, for this man, and we know the Lord sent us this man, and maybe we'll pay attention to him." But you got to thank Joshua now. The Lord's been grooming Joshua. Joshua couldn't have just showed up on the scene and stood up over Israel and said, "Hey, come hither and hear the word of the Lord your God." That's the same way Preacher Darren, if he came and not studied all week and come up here and said, "Listen," there'd be a couple of us, because we'd been with him for a while. There'd been a couple of us, we'd perked up and we'd listen. But if it had been a couple new people, "Well, I don't really know." There'd been a couple Pharisees, "Well, I don't really know. I don't know if I'm going to listen. I don't know if I'm really going to pay attention." But Joshua has been groomed for this situation. This command, this concentrated control that Joshua has not happened overnight. It's been something that's been coming in the making. And so to speak, the same situation that we're in, this church, this has been something in the making. As I spoke about this morning, that the Lord's fixing to do something great, but He ain't going to do it overnight. The Lord's been unplugging and plugging people over time. This is in the making, right? Okay, you ain't going to make a good biscuit just like that. It ain't going to happen. Now, there's certain ingredients. There's certain stuff that's got to be plugged in, rolled out, kneaded, pressed, floured, a little bit of milk, a little bit of salt, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of shimmy, and then just, and then here comes Grandma's biscuits. Listen, the first time I ever tried, I went in there and I went, and a little bit of, and a little bit of, and it's just a taste of, and went, and guess what? They didn't rise. I made hockey pucks. It was great. It was absolutely great. But what I'm trying to get at is, this is a process, okay? And Joshua just wouldn't have been able to show up and said, hey, pay attention. I'll give you another, thank you, Lord. When I met my wife, she's going to love me. When I met my wife, first day I seen her, I said, hey, good looking. I said, I'm going to marry you one day. You think she went, all right, sounds good. No. She said, you're an idiot. That's the same situation here. God's been grooming Joshua and getting him. God allowed Joshua to stand in the tabernacle and hear the word of the Lord and hear what was going on and hear the things that God was saying to Moses, that he knew one day Joshua was going to stand before people and say, hey, pay attention. Come hither and hear the word of the Lord your God. But not only I see the concentrated control of that command, but I see the concentrated charge of that command. In verse number 10, the Bible says, and Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he with without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gershites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Okay, so we see not only the concentrated control of this command, but we see the charge. And then Joseph's telling him, he said, listen, he said, here, it's coming. He said, but the Lord your God said, what did he say? He said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Church, he's here tonight. Church, he is here this morning. Church, he's the same God yesterday as today as he is forevermore. And the Lord your God, hey, heareth what the Lord your God said. And he said, I will be among you. He's here tonight. He's hearing your problems. He's hearing your situations. He's hearing your circumstance. You just got to stand still. So many times, and I'm the worst, you can ask my wife, I am the world's worst. When a problem arises, I'm the world's worst to want to fix it on my own. I'm the world's worst to just run around like a chicken with my head cut off. Just, oh, Lord, what are we, Brother Adam, what are we going to do? Lord, I know you can do it. Woo! Lord, I got it. I got it. Lord, I know you're here. 30 minutes later, Lord, where are you at? What is it not the truth? Is that not where we're at? God said, stand still. Amen. When you get to the river, stand still. Amen. We see the charge. Second of all, not only we see the concentrated command, but we see the confrontational cutoff. Verse 13, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now think about this. Now that's what the Lord God showed me. He said when the soles of your feet, these babies right here, touch the brim of the water. He didn't say, get out there about calf deep or ankle deep or knee deep or maybe even waist deep. What did he say? The soles of your feet. Now granted, here's where we're at. Verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. It's talking about the Ark of the Covenant. Between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You ain't went this way before. Thank you, Lord. You ain't dealt with this sloppy condition you're fixing to get into. You ain't dealt with this trial or trail you're fixing to go down. But God said if you'd just stand still, get your feet down there to the brim, that's the most extremity parts, the outskirts of the water, stand still. Say, why is that? Because God rested in the waters. And this is where it gets deep. God rested in the waters. Now let me put it into perspective. The River Jordan, on a normal day, is about 100 foot wide at the widest parts. Okay? 100 foot wide. That's probably about from, about maybe about as wide as a church here, maybe. About, give or take. 100 foot. So, at any given day, it's 100 foot wide, and it's 3 foot to 10 foot deep at any one point. So, you know, maybe, ignorant humans that we are, we might do good first 25 feet. Well, that ain't too bad, okay? We might make it another 35, 40 feet. It's about our knees. Don't look too bad. Maybe we can get on the cross. We get over here, whew, 10 foot hole, outside. Okay? But what's the Bible say? Let's read a little further. In verse 15, the Bible says, and as they that bear the ark came unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So what's that mean? River Jordan, at any one point in time, it come harvest time, floods up out of their banks. She's out of her banks. Best I can understand, best I can study from what I've gathered, when this river goes to flooding, we go from 100 foot wide at the widest point to 2,640 feet wide. Amen. Half a mile. Who else is a half a mile? The Israelites from the ark. They're standing back a half a mile over here. I think he's going that way. And they're watching. So we get over here, and these boys got the ark. Now, could you imagine standing there, flood stage? Now, the Tow River's pretty wicked when it gets flood stage. It's pretty gnarly. The rivers in Montana at not flood stage is pretty gnarly. But could you imagine standing in a river 2,640 foot wide at flood stage? 10 foot deep, but now we're half a mile wide and God only knows how deep in certain parts. So they're standing there. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. You think we can cross it? No, I don't think we can cross it. You serious? Yeah, I'm not serious. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Well, the Lord said we're just going to stand here. Sounds good. So they're standing here at the brink now. From what used to be 100 foot is now half a mile wide. And they're standing at the furthest, most extremity edge, and the soles of their feet is just standing there, and the water's just... And they're standing here. Well, God said if we'd just stand still, he's fixing to do something. All right. So they're standing there. All right. Now get me. The Israelites is a half mile back yonder. If anybody got any closer, they're going to kill them. And this is where we see the cutoff. The Bible says in verse number 13, it says here, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Says that the Lord will rest in the waters. He's resting. What's it mean to rest? It means to kick back. Take it easy. In the midst of your problems, God's already sitting back. In the problem now. It didn't say he's outside the problem. He's in the problem. He said, if you just get to the brim of your problem and just stop and just let me do God things and let me be God that I am, and I brought you this far, he said, I'm resting in the waters. I'm resting in your problems. I'm resting in the circumstances and the situations. He said, I know they fix and get sloppy. I know things fix and get wild. I know we're fixing to go through this. He said, but if you just get over here and stand still and let me be God. What's the Bible say? As soon as the soles of their feet touch the water, God's already there waiting on them. That's where you're at tonight. God's already waiting on you. You're coming down this trail that you ain't never been down this trail before. There's been some sloppy conditions, and it's fixing to be a few more. You know what's happened when you get down flood stages? I mean, the grass is wet. It's obviously been raining. You're going through some rainy conditions. I know you are. You ain't got to tell me about it. Hey, some of us here going through rainy conditions. The ground's wet, sloppy conditions. I mean, the mud, it's in between your toes, and you're slipping, sliding, and you ain't been down this trail before, and it's kind of dark. God said, when you get down there and you feel the water hit your feet, said, stop. Stand still. Said he stopped. They stopped. And said, when the soles of their feet hit that water, what happened? God cut it off. He cut it off. Said the same God that was there yesterday in the water waiting on you. He was there today in the water waiting on you. He's going to be in the water tomorrow. When, I don't know how long it's going to take you to get through this problem. I don't know how long it's going to take you to get through this night shift. But God, but he's the same God that's standing in the water. And he's going to be there yesterday and today. And if you're still traveling across this way tomorrow, he'll still be there, cut the water off, holding the water back on the heap. And it's just sitting there just like a big video game. Just a whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I mean, the water ain't come down. It's still sitting there on the heap just waiting to come down. Why can't it come down? Because God's in it. God's all over it. It ain't going nowhere. It's going to stay right there because God's got a hold of it. If you just stand still and let God get a hold of it. That's where we're at. We see here, it says in verse 13, said that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand on a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents. They seen it coming. They've been watching for the ark. That's just like if you didn't feel God within you, like I said this morning, if you didn't feel God work in your life, you're going to be looking for him. You're going to know hey, something ain't right. They know dark was coming. They was looking for him. I mean, these people, I mean, the Levites now, the Levites are over top of the Ark of the Covenant. They carry it everywhere it goes. It don't matter where the Ark goes, Levites go. Okay, that's that tribe. That's their job. Everybody else, they're sitting there in their tent. I hear one say, hey, I think I see something coming over the hill. And they get up. Here it comes. So they watch him. It's coming down. And they kind of back it up, kind of keeping their distance. They know. And they watch it, and they know it's coming. They say, Lord God, we ain't been down this trail before. Lord God, we ain't been down this trail. We don't know this way. We don't know what's going on. Said it came to pass when the people were removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests burned the ark of the covenant before the people, and they that bear the ark come unto Jordan. And the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, and for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up. Said they stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zertan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Thirdly, we see a consummational close in verses 14 through 17. Okay, so we see here, the Bible says, the Lord cut the waters off way back up yonder. The Lord done looked way back up ahead of our problems. He doesn't know the way back up ahead of our circumstance situation. He doesn't know we're going to be traveling down this road. He doesn't know we're going to be coming down through here. We didn't know. Lord God, Lord, just be with me. We ain't never been down this trail hitherto. We ain't never been this way hitherto. We don't know where we're going hitherto. But God, if you'd just be with us, bless God, we'll go this way because you said that that's the way we're going to go hitherto. So they were traveling down this road. Sorry, boys, run the camera here. That wearing you out. But they said they were coming down this road. Said, we were coming. The Lord said, if you'd just get down there, I know where you're going. If you'd just get down there. Because see, you think about it now. They're a half mile behind the ark. Lord's guiding the ark because the Lord is the ark. God's in the ark. He's there, and that ark's done down there. Ark's been waiting on him. God said, if you'd just go around the hill, around the bushes, down through the valley, and God said, people, you be looking when I come. Just like he said now, watch and be ready for such a time as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's like he told them. He said, watch and be ready because that ark's coming across the hill and you need to get behind it and get on with it. Amen. Bless God. And they're coming down. Ark's done down there waiting on them. He's done been down there waiting on them. Lord's done been in the waters. Lord doesn't know what's going on. No word to cut it off. And the Lord, the feet of them people, the feet of the priest carrying the ark, done touched the water and he cut them off. Here they come. Lord, we're following them. God, they're done going across. Lord, Joshua, they're going across through yonder. They're going around through yonder. We're going too. Because God said, get behind it and go. Where the man of God goes, get behind him and go. Where God goes, get behind him and go. Where the Lord chose a church ought to go, get behind it and go. Bless God. Bless God. And then he said they stood still. And when they stood still, what God do? Done a great mighty work for them. Said he pulled the waters back. I mean, could you imagine sitting there in the worst point of your life, the worst circumstance of your life, the worst situation, bless God, you've ever been in. And you're standing there, don't know what to do. Bless God, you're on your knees. And God just pulls the bad out of the situation. Just pulls the water back from a circumstance. Just pulls it back, bless God, and gives you firm, dry ground to walk on. What would you do? What would you do? We see the consummational close here. They're coming down. Now the Ark of the Covenant's done gone across. Now we're looking at a river. How wide? How wide? A half mile. So by the time the Israelites hit the water, or let me phrase that, where the water used to be, the Ark of the Covenant's done going across the other side, coming up out of the riverbed and carrying on. Did he say that when the Ark of the Covenant got through, he let the waters go? Huh? Let's read that. The Bible says in verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zertan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood what? Firm. On what? Dry ground. Who's ever played in the river around here? You dig a hole out in the river where water used to be, that ground ain't firm. You can... That ground ain't dry. You can just... You ain't getting that. But it said they... I thought, Lord God, my shoes ain't even getting wet. That's where you're at tonight. Hey, you're standing there, bless God, and the Lord pulled the waters back and the Lord opened up a row. I'm talking, I could drive an 18-wheeler through. I mean, it's like when I played Little League football, they said, when we open this hole up, when you go to, we want to run through the two hole, open a hole up, you can drive a truck through. God pulled the waters back and you can drive a truck through it. You can drive a truck across it. You can send my youngin' across it because the ground ain't going to move. The waters ain't there. The ground's dry. That day walked right across on dry ground. Hey, wasn't nothing stopped. The water stood still. God's standing still. The ark's moving on. The Israelites moving on. And you're going to move on too. Amen. He says here, bless God, says, and they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It said, it didn't say they waited till the elders, it goes in the back of the pack, and the Lord let the rivers go. He said, till everyone was counted for. It, Tony, you here? Yeah, Brother Jerry, you here? Brother Doug, you here? Honey, you there? Yeah. Kenneth, you here? Yeah, sounds good. Brother Hal, did he make it? Yeah, he's done it good. Keith and Vicky, yeah, they made it too. Brother Adam, Mr. Trisha, their family, yeah, they're here. Yeah, what about Brother Tim? Yeah, he made it too. That everybody? Amen, that's everybody. God said, all right, wham, and here it come. Bam! Brought the water back down. He loves each and every one of you tonight. He ain't going to let the water go on any of you. If you just stand still in this problem, stand still in this circumstance. Bless God, I can't get over them waters. I mean, could you imagine standing there? I mean, I've seen waters. And when them waters get big and boisterous, them waters is raging. Them waters is rumbling. Them waters is rabid, like rabid dogs, just waiting to eat whatever gets near it. Because flood waters is mean and vicious. He's like our devil, the adversary. Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Bless God, but what they didn't know was God was standing in amongst the waters. God was standing in amongst their problems. God said, I knowed you ain't gone this way before. I knowed you ain't traveled this way before. This is unfamiliar territory to where you're going. He said, but trust me, there's going to be some slippery conditions because it's been storming. There's going to be some bad conditions because the weather's been bad. But if you'll trust me, he said, I'm going to give you a dry bed to walk on. I'm going to give you a dry hoe road hoe. I'm going to give you dry ground. Bless God, that you can get across the other side and you can set that plow down and you can just plant, bless God, and plant like we ought to be planting and planting them seeds day in and day out. Because God said if you'd just stand still, he'd do it. Amen. Thank God he'd do it this evening. I thank God for that this evening. You stand to your feet. Seth, you come and play. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you need to move, you move. You to let God have his way. I shouldn't have to beg you. But you just stand still. I don't know what you're dealing with. Don't know what you're going through. You just stand still. Maybe you're watching online. You say, Lord God, preacher, that's for me. You just stand still where you're at. You hear me well, you on Facebook. You just stand still. You let God be God. Maybe you're sitting there. You get down the floor. You just get on your knees. And you talk to an almighty God this evening. Because God said, if you just stand still, he said, I'm already there. God said, I'm already in your problems. I'm already in your circumstances and your situations. He said, I'm just waiting on you. God said, it's going to be slippery. God said, it's going to be sloppy. But he said, if you just get down there to the brim of the water and just stand still and just let me do God things and let me be God, would there be anybody else? As we pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank thee, God, that you're a God that just wants us to stand still and see just how big you really are. God, our problems ain't nothing. God, you're in amongst the Jordan at floodplain and at a half mile wide and you only know how deep. And God, you're in amongst it. Lord, the Bible even said you rested there. You wasn't swirling around. You wasn't carrying on. But you was resting in amongst that problem. In amongst that river. And there wasn't nothing took you by surprise. And God, I'm thankful tonight. Lord, that ain't nothing got you took by surprise. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, what you're going to do here at Bethel. I'm thankful, God, what you're going to do in these people's lives. God, I pray you touch them. Oh, God, would you help them? God, I pray you'd lift them up, God, and help them, Lord. God, just to stand still. Lord, just get a glimpse, Lord, of just how much you're just sitting there just waiting on us. Just to stand still. God, you want to do a new thing. Lord, you want to do a great thing. Lord, you want to do something, God, we ain't never seen before. God, I want to see you hold the waters back for this church. Lord, I want to see you do something great and magnificent. Lord, just be something, Lord, just we ain't never even witnessed. God, would you do that for us? God, I know that you can. And Lord, you've told us just stand still. God, I'm asking, Father, you'd help us, Lord, just stand still. God, I pray tonight Father, you'd meet each and every need. Father, each and every prayer request, each and every sick person, each and every lost loved one. I pray, God, you would help them. Lord, I pray you'd touch us now. God, as we go, Father, throughout the upcoming week, I pray, Lord, you'd pick us up and help us, God, just to stand still, Lord, as you just work great and mighty things out in our lives. And I ask, God, that you'd just do that, Father, that only a God in heaven could do. Thank you.